Morning to you all. Greetings. Welcome back, Sudha. Good to see you back. As we come to the Word this morning, if you could please turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 7. I shall read it for you from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let us pray. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for giving us this blessed privilege to come to thy holy presence this morning and worship you and know more about you. And we thank you for the privilege to meditate upon your word. Father, we pray that, Lord, we may continue to grow in your relationship which you have blessed us, the privilege you have given us. We pray for your precious word, O Father, that help thy servant to speak in clarity and it may be edifying to the body of Christ, and ask your blessing upon this word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm sure our hearts were lifted up this morning as we looked at Brother Jeet Bhatt, a glimpse of who our God is and the privilege to come to his presence and privilege to worship God and know God. As we look into 1 John, and we say it's written by Apostle John, but it never says the writer. You don't see the writer's name as you begin to read. Most of the letters you see Apostle Paul or Peter writes, they didn't mention that. But when you look at the scriptures as you read through, what was John known for? He was called the Apostle of Love, isn't it? Apostle of Love. Clearly, you see the writings, the scriptures, and the Spirit of God. The scholars all agree it's written by Apostle John. Any idea how old John would be when he writes these words for us, approximately? It would be, this book is written, this letter is written in about 85 to 90 AD. They say he was probably in Ephesus. This is before he went to Patmos when he wrote Revelation. This is before that. But when you look at it, when you say it's 90, 80, then what's happened by then? We went through Book of Acts last few months. By now, 70, 80, a significant event happened in the church those days. There was severe persecution in Jerusalem in 70, 80. So the church were all dispersed. And by now, Apostle Paul has finished his race. But John is the only one, it's according to many historical events, who probably was still the last. And he wrote the book of Revelation. And he writes this book in the times when there were many false prophets already. And there were many people who were professing Christians, but they were not genuine Christians. There were no lack of commitment. And he writes this letter that as he writes in verse 3, his whole focus of writing this letter is for one main thing, that fellowship which I have received from God, which was with us, that you may also have. That joy which we have received, that you may also have. And as you just read the first three verses, just think about what excitement, the passion John writes for us. If you just look at it, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and has manifested to us. As I was just waiting for God's word a week or so, and I was waiting what to share, and there was a ceremony, and Jerusha came up running upstairs to the room, and she said, "Daddy, come, there's a small bird there, just Joanna sent me, a baby bird in the nest has fallen down. Come, see, I've seen it. You come, you see." And I saw excitement of seeing a little bird fallen from a tree. And Joanna wanted to save that bird. And I saw that excitement. She came and shared that, "I've seen this bird. I've heard it. Come, help." That just took me to the time, the excitement, the passion, the enthusiasm. I just remembered how those sisters would have been when they saw the empty tomb. You know, they ran to Peter and John. They ran. They ran, Joanna, Salome, Mary Magdalene. They ran. "Come, see, there is empty tomb. There is empty. Lord is not there." I do not know the emotions, the excitement, the passion. That is the what happened. John is trying to say, we have seen, we have heard, we have touched that which was written about him, that which was from the beginning. The volumes of book, if you keep on reading pages of pages, the stories, the characters, all spoke about the coming of the Messiah, the Son of God. That which was from the beginning. If you just read John 1, if you just turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning of God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The God, Lord Jesus, is equated, the Word is equated to God. The Word was God, and the Word here, as we read in 1 John and John, the God is equated to light, is equated to eternal life. In him was life, the life which was manifested, the life was the light of men. John had the wonderful privilege. We haven't seen Jesus, we haven't seen God, but God became man. And John spent, he was told as a closest associate of Lord Jesus. You see in many passages, he was in the bosom of our Lord. If you look at the accounts when transfiguration happened, who were the three disciples there? They were John, Peter, and James. So he saw Jesus being transfigured into the likeness of God, the glory of God, the holy of God. Most holy God, the exact representation of God. Who outran first into the tomb after Mary and sisters went? We read Peter and John ran. And we read in John's Gospel that John went, outran Peter, and he saw. They've heard it. They had heard about Jesus. The excitement of passion of Philip going and telling to Nathanael, "We found the Messiah. He told everything about me. Nathaniel, come and see." When you see a treasure, you want to share a treasure with someone, you could come with excitement. I think as brothers and sisters, we need to be excited for our Lord Jesus Christ. When we share about our Lord, we need to share with excitement, with passion, because the message of God is true, and it has, as John brings us, he has heard it, he has seen it, that we may have the fellowship they had, that we may have more abundantly. And as we read in verse 4, we unto your joy may be full. When we hear the key word in 1 John, as we turn to 1 John, as we're looking at that passage, what is a key word you saw in 7 verses we read? What word you saw it, you read a few times. What was the word? Fellowship. Fellowship, right? We read in verse 3 of 1 John. Let me just turn to that. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and declare to you, that you may have also the fellowship with us. And you see in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. So walking the fellowship with the Lord. And you see in verse 7, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship. We use this word, key word, more often, isn't it? Very often. What is fellowship? In a context, we may be thinking fellowship is catching up with a brother or sister. You may be thinking it's about having a coffee with someone, thinking about calling someone, or, having a handshake after that and having some time. It is more than what we can think and imagine in the context of what fellowship meant according to the word of God, which I'm still learning even as I share this morning. Fellowship comes, as we read this word from fellowship, it comes from a Greek word. It's called koinonikias. What it means is partnership. It means commonality. It means sharing with any needs. It means coming into a common purpose. Partnership, commonality, communion, sharing, partnership. That's the word which is used as we read the word fellowship. This morning, as we took part in the table, we all participated in the table, right? We come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 16. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one body, for we are all partakers of one bread. We were all celebrating in our hearts salvation of God. We are all participating, remembering the great salvation. We participated in the bread, the cup of blessing. Different members, the word of God says, we are members of his bones and his flesh. A communion with God. Even if you look at Old Testament times, the sacrifice made to God, you see the Jews in Judaism, they ate the part of the sacrifice. They ate the part of the sacrifice as a way of restoring with the unity with God by faith. By faith, what was God, even if you take the Passover lamb, they ate his Passover lamb, trusting, remembering the bitter times they had, remembering how God has delivered them, the Lamb of God. They ate and took part and participated. There was one common cause. This morning, there was one common cause. We participated, remembering, celebrating, and participating in the bread and the table. Now, as we go back to fellowship, where does it begin in the Bible, in the Word of God? Does it begin from Adam? Does it begin fellowship, you see, is fellowship in the Godhead. If you can look at the creation, when God created, we said that we worship God this morning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God. If you turn to the very early book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, you see when God wanted to create you, just read that one verse. You see, let us make man in our image. Who is us? Who is our? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're in communion, in union with each other. As you keep going, as you read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, when man failed, when Adam failed, you read this verse, man has become one of us. Man has become one of us. God is speaking in union with God the Father, God the Son. As you continue to read 11:7 in Genesis, when they were building Tower of Babel, you see God speaking, let us go down and confirm their language. The thought I'm trying to bring is, they were in unity with one another. They were had a collectivity in the Godhead. So the fellowship in Godhead, fellowship in deity, we see this in the foundation of God's heart. When you look at Lord Jesus, who God became man and dwelt among us, as we read, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus says in John's Gospel chapter 17, if you turn to John's Gospel chapter 17, and if anyone has verse 4.
Glorified be on earth, I have finished the work for which thou hast come.
Thanks, brother. I've glorified thee, I've finished the work, what the Lord has given me. And the work which thou hast given me to do. One of the key purpose of the Son was to glorify the Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. You see, continuously, Jesus prayed with the Father. His will was, even in times of meeting the Samaritan woman, my will is more than having, you know, the word. He was speaking to meet the need of the woman, Samaritan woman. That was his will. That was the will of the Father. As we look at John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 20. John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, he in me, I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It's a mystery to understand. He shall know that I am in my Father, and he in me, and I in you. The day we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the day we have believed in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been studying from the book of Romans, we all have a new standing in the eyes, in the sight of God. What has happened is, as God the Father, God the Son has union, we have union with God. We have come to communion with God. Verse 15 of the same chapter says, John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 16, and I'll pray to my Father, and he shall give you a comforter, that he may abide with you forever in the spirit of truth. This morning, Brother Jeet was bringing this key thought to coming to his presence, and we all acknowledge all of us are unworthy. Only the Levites could come and minister. The Bible says, the Lord says, you are all being called a holy priest, a royal priesthood, to offer sacrifices to God. We are all ministers of God. All have been given this privilege. We are all being given to this, come to a communion in union with God, having oneness with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says like this, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. You have been called to fellowship, I have been called to fellowship by our Lord Jesus Christ, who is faithful. Who is faithful? Now we've just looked at briefly on fellowship. We looked at the fellowship of Godhead. We looked at how we have come to union with God. But what is the heart of God in all this? As you look at John's Gospel chapter 17, turn to just John's Gospel chapter 17. This chapter speaks about the Lord's Prayer before he was crucified. And all, as you read, as you look at your Bible, they're all in red letters. That's a prayer which Jesus prayed. And Jesus prays in verse 9, as we see John's Gospel 17, verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. He's praying for the church. He's praying for the body of Christ. I pray for them that thou art mine. Verse 11 says, John's Gospel chapter 17 and verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. This is the heart and prayer of our Lord Jesus, that they may be one as we are. As God the Father, God the Son are one, that we may be one. Now in verse 20, you see, he prays for you and me. Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, as even as we are one. The union with God. Prayer of unity with glorifying God. One of the key things happens when God says, when we are united with God, a world may see and they may come to believe. When a body of Christ is united in love, the world will see and will come to know the love of God. And this has happened in this church as well. I've seen a brother who came from a Hindu background many years ago, and this was his testimony, who still fellowship with us. He came initially to just as coming and joining for some trips we used to go, some outings we used to have, and he used to come and fellowship. And he saw something different in the group. They were different to the other groups he met. He saw the love, he saw the unity, and he saw they have a true God. And he came into the fellowship with us, and he continued. And that is so true, isn't it? As Father, Lord Jesus prayed, that the world may come to believe when we are one and united. So this was the heart of our Lord Jesus, heart of God, when he prayed, when all we look at the salvation is the beginning, the understanding of it will take us to eternity. And as we're looking at the word, the participation is an application at the end part of his fellowship. Salvation is the beginning, but the end of it is a relationship with God, right? As you look at, we are different members here, brothers, sisters, We were all strangers, isn't it, to each other a few years ago. I did not know Brother Nagraj. I did not know a sister here. I did not know I had to love you, brother. Or you do not know you had to love me. We are not programmed to love. But what happens is the Spirit of God, we are one Spirit. We are one Father. And we have love and care for each other. It is a mystery, isn't it? Sometimes we end up loving our brother and sister in the family of Christ more than our own father and mother. We come to that because the family of God is eternal aspect. We're going to live in eternity together. And the Spirit of God teaches us and ministers the needs of each other. So the commonality, the communion, the participation, we have one purpose in common, isn't it? When you look at, ask our hearts, what is a common purpose we gather on Lord's Day and the time we gather? The only one common purpose is to glorify God. Is to glorify God. And also there are other purposes for each other to see that the other brother and sister is growing in the Lord. That I may grow, I may be fruitful, my needs may be met. That was the heart, and that was the... As we come to Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes to church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye were called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another, in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. There is one body, there is one and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. As we look into this beautiful verse, Paul encouraging for the body of Christ to endeavor, as in our own homes, husband and wife, at times we endeavor to keep the unity and bond of peace for the union of God. Paul writes, with all lowliness, with all meekness, with long suffering, forbearing. As we are many members, we are all different, isn't it? Our ideas, our nature are all different. Christ has brought us together in love. Sometimes we need patience. Sometimes we need to endure. We need to put others first. Enduring with meekness, humbleness, forbearing one another in love. One body. We have only one head, one Lord. Brother reminded us there's only one CEO in a company. We have only one head, one shepherd. We are a different flocks, only one shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about one blood. We've been all washed by the same blood, aren't we? One Father. We look at a wine. Jesus is the wine. One wine. We are the branches. We are called the bride of Christ. We have a one bridegroom. As we turn to 1 John, back to where we looked at. Now, John comes to verse 5 and 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Now, John writes, he's writing this letter to believers. He's not writing this as a gospel. He's writing to the church who has known God. He's writing about the fellowship in the light. Light speaks about pure holiness. We learned a glimpse of what is God's holiness this morning. You know, God is light. In Him, there is no darkness. We are called the temple of living God. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 17 says like this. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Verse 17, as you just look at, he that joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We've been joined by one spirit. We've been called by our Lord Jesus Christ into the fellowship of God. Now John writes to this church to walk in the light. As we walk in the light, then our fellowship with God is, when we talk about fellowship, we have a relationship with God. Our communion with God, vertically. We need to have it always right. When we have that right, then our horizontal, our brothers and sisters here, that will also get right with others. Now John was also addressing, there were many people there those days who were professing Christians, who went to church, who did things, but they were in sin. They were in sin. They were false prophets. They were not genuine Christians. They were not born again. They were not born again. Because if you read in verse chapter 2 of 1 John, and verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God is manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. John was not saying that we shall not commit any sin at all, because if you read verse chapter 1, 1 John verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. A believer will not continue to do the same thing. There will be a time he will repent. He will come back to the Lord. Because we know in 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to restore us. So if we walk in the light, as we are in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. In verse 10 of 2nd chapter, it says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling with him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. When we know the Lord, we would love one another, isn't it? Love is in us. We shall not. When we love a brother and sister, we are in light. As John writes this passage. So as we look into briefly, God is light. God has asked us to come in fellowship with His light. God has called us to understand the privilege He has given to each one of us. As we turn to a glimpse of where the beginning of church was, we turn to Acts chapter 2. We turn to Acts chapter 2. And verse 42. This is the early church. And this is how they were. as you read verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man hath a need. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat meal with gladness and singing of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were with, what do we see in this early church? They were with one accord. They had one common aspect, which is still the same for every church, to glorify God. What did they do? They worshiped God. Four pillars of the church: prayer, their word of God, the doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread. Four important pillars of the church. Prayer, fellowship in prayer, fellowship in breaking of bread. We had fellowship as we participated even this afternoon. They had one common purpose: to glorify and worship God. They met the need. They looked at the needs of each other, and they had a common heart to meet the need of others. Some people, they went to an extent to sell their property. Barnabas was one of them. He sold everything for the glory of God. Jeet was sharing this morning that Dia came, and when he hugged, he was so happy. There are times in our lives when a brother and sister has ministered out to our hearts like that, in a family of God as well. David had this experience. If you turn to Psalm chapter 16, and verse 3. It says, "But to the saints that are on the earth, and to the excellent in whom all is my delight." The saints are on the earth. They are a delight. They are indeed a delight. Brothers and sisters here, and this brothers and sisters we know in Christ, they are indeed a delight, isn't it? The fellowship, the time we spend at times, the union we have, the commonality we have, the worshiping together, the time we go sometimes outing. We may remember, we cannot express the joy we have, right? We can express sometimes when our children comes and hugs us, the joy we have, the delight we have. Psalmist says, "As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you." He was longing for that fellowship, for the relationship with God. I think we need to have in our hearts that longing, the heart's hunger, as David did. They were a delight. In verse 11 of the same chapter, you see, "Thou wilt show me the path. In thy presence is fullness of joy." Is fullness of joy. Where is Lord Jesus today? Yes, he's on the throne. Where would the world see us in Lord Jesus? He will see in you and me. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We are the representative of Lord Jesus Christ. So as the word of God reminds us, we can thank for each other. We can thank God for the privilege he's given with union with God. And God has called with this union to walk in the light. And we have the relationship, fellowship with the light, with the Father, with the Son, with the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been all called by one Spirit, as we read. What can we do for each other? We can value each other, isn't it? The time we have each other, with the time, the relationship we have with each other, we can value each other. We can respect each other. And Paul says in Philippians 2:3 that we may esteem each other above ourselves. Esteem each other above ourselves. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "We have many gifts that we may minister one to another." God has given gifts not for our glory, but for the glory of God. We may minister unto us. I cannot play piano or guitar. I cannot do the PPT. I cannot. We all have different gifts. We are all important. All are important in the body that we've been given to minister to one another. And most importantly, it was love one another. Love, when we walk in the love, we are in the light. That's what John said, isn't it? And the encouragement we have in this walk of life, the encouragement, the edification of the body of Christ we each other have, it is inexpressible. Hebrews 10:24, I finish with that. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more," he say, "the day is approaching." Brothers and sisters, as we go back to 1 John, the heart of John as he wrote this letter was the fellowship he has with God, the fellowship he had that you may have, the joy he had that we may have. And as we read, let us be, consider one another to provoke them unto love. It's like a team to do better, right? To love one another and to, for the good works, encouraging one another for the good works, for the love. And in Hebrews we read, the coming of the Lord is very near, and we need each other with the word, the fellowship, the Holy Spirit. So may the Lord encourage us to understand the privileges we have, and we can value the relationship with God and thy people, and the union walking in the light. May the Lord bless us. Amen.